Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Dennis Cuddy continues laying out his case on how he believes the global crises that are shaking our world are not accidents. How many friends do you have that you know you can count on, no matter the time of day nor the level of disaster? One? Maybe two? You're blessed if you have many faithful friends in this often socially distant world where we may not even know our neighbors or our remote coworkers. No doubt, life in 2025 is drastically different from life in the first century, in those early church years when the New Testament was written. But people are no different. They're still born, go to school, marry, and have children. They still need affirmation and trials to make them stronger and more dependent on the Almighty. The prophet Jeremiah struggled with the evil and suffering in the world, as so many of us do. In his day, the children of Jerusalem, a pile of rubble after the Babylonian invasion, begged for food, and instead were used as food by the mothers. Men and women were brutally killed by the captors, and all seemed dark. No one stuck up for God's chosen people, except God. Great is His faithfulness and His mercies, which are new every morning. You, friends, along with our merciful Heavenly Father, have proven faithful. You are the reason Watchmen on the Wall and Southwest Radio Ministries is still proclaiming the gospel and bringing clarity to the chaos after well over 90 years. We are 100% supporter-funded. While people have not changed, technology for reaching people has so fast it'll make your head spin. We need your help to meet the growing financial needs of ever-changing technology and media. Would you become one of SWRC's Faithful 500 who will pledge a monthly gift of $50 or more? We thank you for being one of our faithful friends, whether by gift or by prayer. Together, we can make an eternal difference for today and future generations. Go to SWRC.com and click Donate. Or call 800-652-1144 today. Here's our host, Dr. Larry Spargimino.
We're back with Dr. Dennis Cuddy. In our previous program, we were speaking with Dr. Cuddy about his new book, Conspiracy 3. And I will say nothing else because he's got so much more to tell us today. So, Dr. Cuddy, it's so good to have you with us, and I understand you've got a couple of basic comments about your earlier works, and you also want to speak about the preface in this new book. So go ahead, sir, and tell us what's on your heart.
Okay. In terms of today, there is a secret communist plan coming to fulfillment. The communist theoretician Antonio Gramsci said, "People don't like these bloody revolutions, so we're going to take over the culture." And they have. They have. And there's a secret Nazi plan also that's coming into fulfillment. Now, the first thing I want to say is in that book, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan, I have gotten information since that was published. For example, if you asked anybody what happened to Hitler, they all say, well, he's killed or committed suicide in the bunker. However, by 2007, DNA had been developed. And so this New England pathologist, I think his name was Badaloni, if I haven't mispronounced that, he went over there and said, "Can I have a teeny tiny little piece of the skull?" It was charred, you know, real charred. And they said, "Okay, a little teeny piece." He brought it back and found that it was really the skull of a woman in her 30s, so it couldn't have been Hitler.
Right.
So he actually survived, and I have a tape here of him in Argentina Deep. What happened was people would look in the National Archives for information on Hitler. They wouldn't find it. You have to look on the U-boats, that's their submarines. The submarines would drop these Nazis all along the coast, and they would go deep, and some would go into Buenos Aires, you know, have... I actually put a picture of a joint bank account between Juan Perón and these people to prove, like I said, primary documents, to prove that these people didn't die. They thought Martin Bormann had died at the railroad tracks. No, 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 he didn't die at the railroad tracks. The Nazis had, they were very, very evil, but masterminds, really masterminds. They would have a specific Stalag, and their job would be to create false images, you know, false people.
Right.
There's a book by a very good British newspaper guy, The Strange Death of Heinrich Mueller. And the reason he says strange death is that the dueling scar doesn't match, the dental work doesn't match. So a lot of these people who are supposedly dead really weren't dead. They survived a long time. And there were two, I'm actually getting too far into the book. If you want to, you can read that book. I wrote that in 2010. You can also buy that from the ministry. You can do
wow.
that. So we'll finish with that. Now, on the preface of Klaus Schwab's book, I put on the front the picture of the person and then a famous quote.
Right.
But Klaus Schwab, in my opinion, he doesn't look very bright. He was picked because of his stature and so forth and so on. But I often like to say, behind these famous men often is a woman. Behind Bill Clinton, for example, is Hillary. And you remember, at one point she said, we are the president. So, I mean, she was, you know, admitting that. So they're handlers. So Hildy, his wife, is the one with the brains. She's the one that, for example, I haven't been able to prove this, but there has been some suggestion that she was related to Hitler and that whole family. But you'll read about it in the preface
right.
of the current book with Klaus Schwab on the cover. Okay, that's my comment about those two things.
Well, as I was reading your book, I was thinking of what are the things that has to happen for people to accept world government is that there, what should I say, has to be a diminishing of patriotism, you know, love
yes.
for any country.
Absolutely.
In fact, we see it now. People hate America, even Americans who were born here. Tell us a little bit about that, and how is that really orchestrated? It's not accidental, but the people who are pushing and pulling the strings know what they're doing.
Yeah, but they don't want it to be obvious. They don't want
yes.
the people to find out what they're doing. So in the 60s, for example, as you moved more and more away from a Christian nation, you would have the slogans, you know, what's in it for me, look out for number one, and so forth and so on. And people thought this was the radical left. However, there was an infiltration by an FBI member, and he wrote it up later called the Strawberry Statement. You know, strawberry, like the Beatles, Strawberry Fields, forever, and so forth. He infiltrated them. And what he found out was it wasn't controlled by the left. It was really controlled by the right. Business Roundtable International wanted to make the left, the hippies, appear so far left that as they move leftward, people would notice it. For example, people often look at President Nixon as a conservative. He really wasn't. One of the first pieces of legislation that he sponsored when he became a member of the House, voted in 1946, was to give more authority to the UN. That is not a conservative position. And he did some other things that would indicate that he's, you know, he wasn't all that conservative. Even the person I worked for, Ronald Reagan, I was a problem solver for Reagan. He wasn't all that conservative. He was controlled. For example, when I looked at the convention, when he was nominated and won in, you know, 1980, the convention, he was happy Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And then on Thursday, when he was to make his announcement for vice president, he looked very somber. Something had happened to him. And he says, my nominee is George H.W. Bush. And then the camera switches over to George Bush. And I remember him. He was rubbing his hands together like some silent screen villain like that. And I found out what happened was on Wednesday night, Henry Kissinger paid him a private visit and said, you do want to nominate Bush, don't you? Hint, hint. And if you, in other words, if you want to be president and not have something happen to you or whatever, you know, you will do that because that's what we want. and he will control foreign policy. He will control foreign policy. And Reagan really wasn't all that conservative either. When he was governor of California, he had a rather liberal abortion policy out there. And so things are not always what they seem. Whoever it is, whether it's Trump or, you know, anybody, these presidents are controlled. They're really controlled. Sometimes they're not controlled psychologically, but they're blackmailed. You know, they're blackmailed into doing. In fact, the Powerly loves to get people for president, powerful positions who they can get something on. You know, they have to hold something over them. And so that's one way this happens. And one way, as I said, in the late 60s, they appeared to be leftists, but they really weren't. The people behind it were Business Roundtable International.
Wow. At the present time, I look at President Trump, now we have the Gulf of America. Mount McKinley, the name had been changed. I forget what it had been changed to, but now it's Mount McKinley once again. And this whole idea of MAGA, Make America Great Again. I do believe that America's a great place. How does President Trump fit into this? I mean, is he being controlled? Is that why there's so much pressure against him? Because people inside don't like what he's saying?
Yeah, he's controlled. Let me explain it to you this way. Trump is an international businessman. Okay, so before he became president, he would travel all over the place. And let's say he traveled to Moscow, right? If you go to a hotel in Moscow, you don't get some random room. You get a very specific room, which has listening devices in the curtains, hidden video cameras, and so forth. And there's often, in your next to you, this girl who's really 17, but she looks like 27, and she says, "Hello, can you please help me with my door?" You know, like this. To be perfectly honest, Trump has been sexually active in the past. And so what they're doing is set up. And I remember he, in his first administration, he was very, very critical of Kim Jong-il or Un, or whichever the son is. He was very critical, and all of a sudden it stopped. He stopped. You didn't hear him complain about him anymore. And I saw that Putin had given a brown envelope to that Korean leader, and that was when it was stopped. What I imagine happened is the Russians had taped blackmailable stuff on Trump and given it to the leader of North Korea, and that's why he stopped. Again, the same thing with Bill Clinton. And it's not just a Republican. Bill Clinton, you know, Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. He would be traveling around, and he would take a trip to Russia, right? Now, he went to Georgetown, which is another interesting feature of historical knowledge. Why would a Southern Baptist boy from Arkansas go to a Jesuit institution? Because they wanted to set him up to become president. Georgetown was John Foster Dulles' son, Avery Dulles, who had become a Catholic cardinal. And it was also his mentor. Clinton's mentioned it. He admitted, "My mentor is Carol Quigley." And he was a teacher of history and Western civilization. Clinton admired him very much. And Quigley wrote a book called Tragedy and Hope. Big, thick book. And the tragedy was that the average person like you and I ran the affairs of our government. The hope was that the elite, the smart guys would do it. And this goes on back way, way back to Plato, you know, the philosopher king.
There's a lot of documentation, a lot of good history, a lot of evidence that you can find. Not all made up. So once again, 1-800-652-1144. And I want to encourage our listeners to go to our website, swrc.com. We've got more books, more videos. We've got announcements about our conferences, about the dates, about who the speakers are. So just check us out and see what our ministry is doing. We're into a lot of stuff. We have a lot of new departments. And you will really be blessed with what Southwest Radio Church is doing at the present time. So the phone number, 1-800-652-1144. Now, Dr. Cuddy, you say that during your senior year in high school, 1963 and 64, you were assigned to portray the famous historian Arnold Toynbee. He was an important member of Cecil Rhodes' Association of Helpers, quote, to take the government of the whole world. And then you got to see that the goal of Cecil Rhodes and the power elite was dialectically to synthesize Western capitalism and Eastern communism. Now, tell us how that works and where do we see that today?
Yeah, well, you see that in a lot of different ways. When you synthesize something, you know, you synthesize the far left and far right, and so you can have the world socialist government. What that plays out as is compromise. You're constantly compromising and compromising and compromising. And so there's not a direct assault on Christianity, you know, but a watering down of it. So it's not apparent. You know, you don't see it full-fledged. And then you have to have important leaders. For example, it's not just the world government, world economy. They want a one-world religion. And so a Bishop Swing, he was an Episcopal bishop, was in charge of that, a one-world religion. And they had the first, I forget what the title is, but it was 1893, regarding a one-world religion. And Cecil Rhodes, his ally, they call it his pal now, but they say Pall Mall Gazette, was in charge of that and describing what they were doing. And then they held another one in 1993, you know, 100-year anniversary to do that. So it's very important to look at these religions. I don't know if I put these in books. I've written about 1,000 published articles. But I show how a long time ago you would have, let's say, the Rockefellers. And the Rockefellers funded the University of Chicago, right? University of Chicago. They purposed to establish a religious control. And so what I've done in articles, I've shown how that applies to Methodists, Baptists, Catholics, and so forth. They've had a plan to do each one of those. For example, in terms of Catholics, that was a venture towards homosexuality. The Curia, which is the ruling body in the Vatican, is full of homosexuals. I mean, it is full of homosexuals. And then Baptists, you would have the first book that I have found that was titled The New World Order. It was published by the American Baptist Association in, I think it was 1919. And it's all about how you have to compromise. You have to compromise to have a world government. The plans involve religion and work. Right. When I was in Washington, I was at the National Institute of Education, which is the premier research and run research funding agency there. If you watch the language, you can see the language, how it changes. It used to be in the 1960s. I remember people would say, Dennis, what do you think about this? What do you think about it? They didn't do that in Washington. They said, how do you feel about it? How do you feel? Wow. And because feelings can be manipulated. So there's a psychological point in all of this in terms of one world religion, the Baptist, the Methodist. And there's this little book printed by the Methodist and to show what they would be doing. And so they got the Methodist to such an extent controlled that the Planned Parenthood office in Washington, D.C. is in the Methodist building. It used to be all Christians were pretty much against abortion. In fact, Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, first feminists, published in the middle 1800s, in which they said abortion is child murder.
Wow.
And it was very clear. But once you water it down, once you water down people's commitment, you quicken the pace of human life, get the men and women at odds, and, you know, one uses the other and so forth and so on. It's a very slow process, goes back 200 years, how they've thought this out all the way to today to ruin or destroy, it was their goal, Christianity.
Amen. Amen. Well, the point you made, you know, you spoke about, well, how do you feel? You talk about Debbie Boone recorded the popular You Light Up My Life. The lyrics were, it can't be wrong when it feels so right. So this is basically saying that how one feels about a female-male relationship is more important than whether it might be morally right or wrong. Well, Dr. Cuddy, we are just about out of time, but we've got one more program to do, and we're looking forward to having you back with us.
Thank you.
What if the global crises shaking our world aren't accidents, but part of a carefully crafted plan? In Dennis Cuddy's brand new book, Conspiracy 3, uncover the chilling connections between Klaus Schwab, the legacy of Nazi ideology, and the push for a one-world government. From pandemics to political chaos, this explosive book explores how world powers may be using the classic Hegelian dialectic to manipulate society into accepting the so-called reset. Conspiracy 3 by Dennis Cuddy. Order your copy today when you call 800-652-1144. That's 800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. If you've ever suspected that there's more to the headlines than meets the eye, Dennis Cuddy's new book, Conspiracy 3, will confirm your instincts and open your eyes. 1-800-652-1144. In Revelation's visions, the abyss opens, and a forgotten rebel emerges as Apollyon, the Destroyer. What follows is an ancient prophecy fulfilled, a demonic army of 200 million rising for the final battle of Armageddon. With details and insight on the rise of Apollyon, here is Marginal Mysteries host and author, Micah Van Hus.
In the visions of Revelation, John records the release of terrifying forces long held in chains of darkness, awaiting the appointed hour of God's judgment. Revelation chapter 9 describes the opening of the bottomless pit, not by the powers of hell, but by an angel sent from God. Welcome to a Marginal Mysteries segment. I'm your host, Micah Van Hus. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 says, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Out of the pit rises a host of demonic locusts, led by Abaddon in Hebrew and Apollyon in Greek, both meaning destroyer. Who is this supernatural ruler over the abyss, loosed in the end times? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 records that the Genesis 6 watchers were bound in Tartarus. It says, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. As we discussed in our last episode, Tartarus is the section of the underworld reserved only for rebellious angels. Revelation 17:8 describes the beast that, quote, was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. His identity has been veiled through the ages, remembered under different names by the nations. And here, the veil lifts. Ancient writings outside of Scripture speak of a figure who led a rebellion before the flood, descending with others to corrupt mankind. He was bound in the depths for his crimes. He is Shemyaza, the leader of the Genesis 6 Watcher Rebellion. In his book, The Second Coming of Saturn, Derek Gilbert argues that Shemyaza, the leader of the pre-flood rebellion, is not only the biblical Lucifer, but also the Greek god Kronos. Because of this, Gilbert identifies Shemyaza as the most fitting candidate for the King of the Abyss. In his 7th century BC work Theogony, the Greek poet Hesiod writes of the Titans, They overshadowed the Titans with their missiles, and buried them beneath the earth. and bound them in bitter as far beneath the earth to Tartarus. This description in Greek mythology closely parallels Scripture's accounts of the watchers being cast into the abyss, highlighting a shared tradition of divine rebels being imprisoned in the depths. As Shemyaza destroyed God's creation, his role fits the definition of Apollyon, destroyer. And as we are about to see, his children will fight at Armageddon. His rise as Apollyon will be the closing of an ancient chapter, the final act that began in the days of Noah. But his rise as Apollyon will not be the triumph of rebellion, but will trigger the final judgment and fulfillment of God's plan. The release of Shemyaza and the Watchers will mark a new phase in God's judgment, but there is more to come. Shemyaza will command a second army. Revelation 9 describes their arrival, starting in verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Shemyaza's army at Armageddon is made up of 200 million men possessed by demons, the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim. It is there, on the battlefield of Armageddon, that the King of Kings will crush the ancient rebels and prepare for the final judgment. You can find a deeper study on this topic in my book, Angels Eternal, War of the Princes. It, along with my other works, including YouTube videos, are available at marginalmysteries.com. I've been your host, Micah Van Hus. Again, visit marginalmysteries.com to explore the topics your Sunday school teacher likely never talked about.
As we begin a brand new month together, we are seeking a faithful 500 who will pledge a monthly gift of $50 or more. To become part of our faithful 500, please visit swrc.com and click donate, or call 800-652-1144. Will you stand with us and be one of the faithful 500? Please join today with your monthly gift and be counted as part of the faithful 500 this month. 800-652-1144, swrc.com. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.